Sorry about this, but you get me again. And you don't get nearly such pretty slides this time, because I had to put
the
them together.
The tech slides instead of the hard slides.
Yes, that's right. So in this session, I'd like to just give a brief introduction and overview of ZTEC for the people who haven't seen me do this before, although I know some have, and then talk about what's currently going on in ZTEC development, a few comments on where we may be going in the future as well. And I will try to actually show it running live if the, you know, the demo gods will smile on me. By way of history, ZTEC has been around for a few years now. April 2004 was the first version that was put out there publicly, and a few people on the OS X tech list noticed it, because at that time it only ran on Mac OS X. And it was a system that was tech extended with support for Unicode and support for the font technologies that were natively on the Mac system. A year or so later, there'd been many beta versions or alpha versions or whatever they were called at that time. We were up to version 0.9, which did OpenType layout as well as Apple's native AAT font technology. And a couple people in the community had done support packages for LaTeX to integrate ZTEC with the LaTeX world quite nicely. Another year later, at BarcoTech in 2006, was the first release of ZTEC on Linux. So it escaped from the world of the Mac and became more widely available. And just a few months later, Akira Kakuto in Japan took that Linux version and built it for Windows as well. So that was one job that I'd been dreading, and somebody else did it for me. That was really nice. February 2007, TechLive 2007 came out, and that included ZTEC for all the platforms that TechLive is delivered on. To me, that's a real coming of age for the project, and everyone who's involved in making that happen, Carl at the top and everybody else who's built binaries and tested things and complained about the bugs to me and so on, it's been very important in making that possible. So ZTEC, as it is in TechLive today, is a tech engine that supports Unicode as its standard native text encoding. It's possible to read text files that are in other encodings, but you just don't want to go there. Unicode is text on computers today. You shouldn't be using anything else. Yes, you can argue with me later. ZTEC now supports, I would say, most macro packages that are out there in common use. At least we don't hear very many complaints about things that don't work. It is still, you know, the language is completely tech, so it should work. The exceptions being things to deal with legacy input encodings, font encodings, and so on, that just don't really make sense in a Unicode world. A lot of the major packages that people use, like graphics or geometry or hyperref, now automatically recognize when they're running under ZTEC and configure themselves with the right options. One of the big hassles is hyphenation files, because there are, well, they're a mess, to be honest, in the tech world. They're written in terms of a variety of different peculiar font encodings. So what we did for TechLive is to load these through a layer of wrappers that do the reinterpretation as Unicode, so that all of the standard hyphenation files that are in TechLive should work correctly with Unicode in ZTEC. So this offers on all the TechLive platforms now, it offers the direct use of OpenType fonts, TrueType fonts, without any special font setup. You don't need 1,001 different files scattered through your TechMF tree in order to use these fonts. And the OpenType layout features like ligatures and swashes and accents and so on that are in a lot of professional fonts today work automatically. And that includes support for non-Latin scripts as well as our own Latin. So there's a few examples across the bottom of scripts that just work directly because we're dealing with Unicode and OpenType. Some examples of the benefits that you get from moving to a universal encoding like Unicode. We can support accented characters many more than in any of the legacy code pages that we used to use and have to switch between. So there's a bunch of text here just as literal text in an input file, and it can be typeset directly with no need to create virtual fonts and switch font encodings to get to the Eastern European ones or the Vietnamese ones or anything. They're all there as part of the same character set and the same font. The same is true when you get to the Far East and want to deal with Chinese or Japanese. Yeah, they have thousands of them, but they're just characters, so they just work. There's no special package needed to do a Chinese character in ZTEC. It's just a character, and they work. We can even typeset them vertically, as is traditionally done for Chinese. So there's a font feature available to get the vertical layout metrics of a font. Don't worry too much about reading every line of that. It's available as a sample on the web. But you can do vertical Chinese typesetting almost as easily as horizontal. It takes just a little bit of macro wrapping around the text to set up the directionality. So a few examples of what font support looks like. These are all fonts that were natively on the Mac OS, because I'm running a Mac here, but you could do the same thing with fonts that ship on any other platform you're working with. And how difficult is it to access these things? Not very. That's the code that it would take in a LaTeX document. Let's try doing it live, though. It's more fun, because it might crash. Well, no, it shouldn't. Make the text just a little bit bigger here so you can see it. Okay, here's a very, very simple Hello World document that says hello in a few different languages. And if I typeset this as it stands, CMR10 is the default font in tech, and a lot of those characters were missing. If you look at the console messages that went by, I got a lot of missing character warnings because they're not in CMR10. Well, so what can you expect? Let's put this over here. And oh no, where did I leave my cheat sheet? It's not there. All right. Sorry, I thought I had this one pre-opened. So that was CMR10. CMR10 is an old font which only has 128 characters in it. No wonder it can't deal with all these languages. So let's change to Gentium, which is a much richer font, and try retypesetting this. Well, still got some missing character messages, but at least the Cyrillic showed up, because that's supported in Gentium. But we still need some other fonts. Let's paste in another font command here for a Devanagari font, and hopefully that'll work. We're getting closer. And it's not very difficult to access the different fonts. Nothing else is needed except for saying what font to use. The Arabic down here, we'll need to switch into right-to-left mode for that to really do the right thing. So there it is. And last of all, let's say hello in Chinese, so we'll choose a Chinese font. It works. Okay, and whatever Unicode fonts, whatever OpenType fonts you have on your computer should be available to use in a tech document with, you know, with no more effort than that. Just declare what font you want to use. Let's get back to my files here and try doing the same thing in LaTeX, because that's what the majority of tech users work with. This is sample 2E. Leslie Lamport wrote years ago. And if I simply typeset that as is with PDF tech, I get a document that we all, or many of us, have probably looked at some point in the past. I can typeset it with ZTech, and I get something that looks very much the same. So, you know, we're backward compatible. But because I'm now using ZTech, I could choose to use the font spec package to choose a different font. So let's ask it for Times Roman that happens to be on the Mac here. And that changes all the fonts through the document to the appropriate faces from Times. Well, you could do the same thing, of course, with PSNFSS packages. So that's not too exciting. Let's try a different one. Suppose we don't want Times Roman, we want an open type font from Adobe, Gensun Pro, for example. Oh dear, not installed. What should we do about that? Well, have to go to Adobe's online store and buy the font, I guess. And having done that, we'll get a collection of OTF files. Let's install those into the Max Fonts folder and try again. Ah, this time it worked. That's how hard it is to install an OpenType font family and start using it in LaTeX. So I'd like to think that the job of, you know, creating these font packages with FD files and STY files and MAP files and all that could really become obsolete. We shouldn't need those. We can use the fonts just as they come from the vendor, install them, just like I install it to use with Microsoft Word or whatever else horrors you might need to use. Okay, where did my slides go? Okay, so we've installed OpenType fonts. We can use them in Tech and LaTeX. ZTech also supports graphics inclusions in the major formats. On the Mac, it supports a lot of formats because it uses Apple's QuickTime technology. But in general, on other platforms, we support PDF, PNG, JPEG. And that all works through the LaTeX graphics package. So it should be transparent to users. Some of the neat drawing packages like PGF and TIXZ work now in ZTech as well. This is a nice little TIXZ example that I pulled off of the website. If you were at the TIXZ workshop yesterday, I assume they showed things like how you can create lines that you can have nodes that you put within the text and draw lines into your diagram. It's really cool stuff. I don't do anything like this in my work, but it's nice to know that you could if you needed to. Things that are not actually in Tech Live today, as far as I know, there's a Arab ZTech package that Francois Charette has created that uses ZTech as an updated engine for the old Arab Tech package that was done years ago. So Arab Tech style input can be typeset with OpenType fonts through ZTech. That works for a typical Arabic font like the one here. It also works, this is too small to see really, isn't it? This is a Nastaliq style font, which is a very complex calligraphic style used in particularly in South Asia for Urdu and other languages. But because it's implemented as an open type font, it's no more complex for the package to deal with. The complexity is all handled by the font vendor. One of the packages that people ask about from time to time is, well, what about PS Tricks? We use that for our diagrams. And that hasn't worked up until now in ZTech because we don't go through a PostScript output path at all, which PS Tricks relies on. But Miyata-san in Japan has worked on the back-end driver and extended that to have some support for PS Trix, so that we can now do PS Trix diagrams right in a ZTech document. The way that's actually done is by handing it off to GhostScript in the background, converting to PDF, and then embedding that. But it's done transparently by the output driver. I'll skip showing you that live. There's one in the paper here, so it works. It's a little slow at the moment. We'd like to get that running faster. A new feature that is in the development version at the moment is what I'm calling, at least for the moment, inter-character token lists. This comes out of requests from the Asian community to be able to control spacing more carefully. For example, between Chinese characters and punctuation marks, there are special rules about how the spaces should work. And it's really painful to do all that with tech macros. I imagine that things like the CJK package probably do it, but it's a very painful process to do at the active character and macro programming level. So inter-character token lists provide a mechanism to recognize the boundaries between different classes of character and insert arbitrary tokens at that point. So you can do some interesting things with this, not just the spacing that it was originally designed for, but another use is to automatically switch fonts when the text includes words in a different script, a different alphabet. It can also be used to get letter spacing in there. And I have a couple of demos of this. It's easier to show it than to try and describe it, really. Let's see. One size here a bit. So this is a document that typesets a typical English sentence. Come on, let's enlarge it a bit. That's better. And then it also tries to do a similar sentence, but where some of the words are in Chinese. And the font that I'm using is a Latin script font. It doesn't support Chinese, so we just get the not def boxes in there. Now, we could add markup to the document, of course, to switch fonts, and that's, in many cases, the correct thing to do. But sometimes it's also very painful to have to mark up every individual little inclusion in a text that switches scripts constantly like that. So if I turn on the inter-character tokens feature, oh, wrong key, one of my TechShop shortcuts, there. The Chinese characters are treated as being a different class from the Latin characters, and when that boundary happens, we can automatically insert token lists to provide grouping and font switch. And that means that the text will now automatically switch fonts where it needs to. And that can be extended to whatever particular needs you have in a certain document. Then the second example here, where say we want to set this capitalized sentence to the full width of the line, what tech will do is stretch out the spaces between the words to do that, because that's the only way it has of justifying. But in the case of an uppercase headline like this, that's one of the few cases when maybe it's appropriate to actually letter space. So to enable letter spacing to happen, I could ask for a little bit of stretchable skip to be put between each pair of Latin characters. Again, with this inter-character token system. And that will automatically allow that skip that I can control, make it just as stretchable or not as I like, so as to get a nicer spread of the text across the page. So it's a general mechanism that has potentially several interesting applications. An example of how it's used in Japanese. Let's see. Yes, there we go. Let's enlarge this a bit so you can see what it looks like. Maybe not quite that much. So this is Japanese text as it might be set by default. And it's kind of okay. It's not perfect by Japanese typographic standards for a couple of reasons. Spacing around the punctuation marks, such as here, there's supposed to be a little extra space there, a little extra stretchability there, but there is no space in the original text, and so there's really no easy way for tech to justify that. Then another complaint I hear is that the Latin characters in Asian fonts often don't look very good, and people would like to use a different font for any little bits of English that might be in their Chinese or Japanese document. So instead of simply setting everything in the Japanese font, let's turn on, configure this to use inter-character tokens to control font switching and spacing, and reset the text. And if all goes well, we'll now see a better job of justifying the text here, where the punctuation marks have just this slightly adjusted spacing. You can see it particularly in this paragraph where the lines had to be stretched. And the English has been switched into Optima without any change in the body of the text. This is all configured just in the preamble of the document so that it happens automatically. To support that, there's actually a package, J Spacing, that again, Miyata-san, who seems to be a very productive guy over there in Japan, he's been developing a package to implement there's a GIS standard for how Japanese typography is supposed to be done, the rules for exactly how much space goes around the different types of characters, and whether it can be stretched and shrunk and so on. And he's encoding all this in this J Spacing package based on the inter-character tokens. So that paragraph of text can be changed from its default setting there to same text set using J spacing, and just the slight adjustment to the spacing around the punctuation and so on is what's critical to doing really correct Japanese typography. Or so they tell me. I know nothing about Japanese typography. Another feature that's coming is support. Well, it's again working in the development code today that will be released real soon now, as they say. Is support for the Graphite font rendering library that supports complex scripts, minority languages, even things that are not yet in Unicode. If a script's encoded in the Unicode private use area, you can still create a font with Graphite that supports it. I can demo that with a couple of fun examples that nobody here, I guarantee, can read. At least I'd be surprised if anyone can read them. I know I can't. But this is Burmese text. And Burmese is one of the difficult scripts of Southeast Asia. Unicode actually changed the standard for Burmese in version 5 because they realized that what they'd done up till then just didn't quite work. So it's one of the few cases where the Unicode standard actually made a change that was not completely compatible, but they realized it was necessary because it just hadn't been done well enough before. So this is the Burmese text set without any special rendering behavior, just using an OpenType font, and it doesn't do a very good job of placing the marks that crash into each other and so on. Even without being able to read it, you can see that it's pretty ugly. So let's try setting that same text, same font, but using the Graphite engine, as this is a font that includes Graphite rendering rules. And it does a much nicer job. It actually places all the marks the way they should be, sets the text correctly. Has trouble with line breaking still, because Burmese is written with no spaces between the words. You only put a space between phrases or sentences. And that's not enough spaces for tech to be able to do line breaking decently. But a Graphite font can also provide line breaking information. So it's like having a hyphenation rules built right into the font And so by accessing that as well, we can set the same text again and get nice justification and correct line breaks within the text. So that's how it's really meant to look, or so my colleague who knows about Burmese tells me. Another interesting one that we have working through Graphite is this script. Does anyone know what this is? Yes, you can't see the title bar of the window, so you can't read that to cheat. Any takers? What is it? This is standardized. This is in Unicode today. It's not Klingon. As far as I know, there's no existing OpenType implementation of this, no standard system that supports it, but it is now encoded in Unicode. And the script is Nko, which is from West Africa. And it's a natively developed script there, from Senegal or something like that, if I remember right. And there are people who have developed, because OpenType technology wasn't there, they developed a graphite font, but they now also have a way to actually typeset that script. Let's see. Yes, Unicode and math. Barbara's favorite subject. So because, sorry?
Before you go on,
currently, it does not process OpenType justification information. That's an interesting future direction, as they say. But no, right now it does not use that.
Okay.
We can talk more about that if you like. I'd be very interested to talk more about that, in fact. So Unicode math, yes. We have an engine that's based on Unicode. We now have thousands of math symbols in Unicode. We have fonts, or fonts in the works at least, that will provide all those symbols. How are we going to use those in tech? Well, traditionally, the math formatting in tech is very heavily dependent on metrics that are in the TFM file. TFM files for Unicode fonts with thousands of characters are going to be a problem. So what ZTEC does, well, we extend a number of the basic tech math primitives, the math char and the del code and so on, to support the full Unicode range of codes, including the characters that are up in the plane one, the supplementary plane, so you can get to all of those. And then we also support the math table, which is a special table that Microsoft has defined for their OpenType fonts. And Microsoft today is shipping a math font, a Unicode math font that supports this math layout table. And that provides actually a superset of everything that's in the TFM. So all the information that tech needs to do math layout is there. And I see this, yes, I see this one was done at the point when I had a bug in the code. Sorry, the sample here is wrong, but the demo I'll show you in a moment is right. That provides all the information that's needed to resize delimiters and do different sizes of operators and radicals and things like that, to position the math symbols the way tech likes to do. But that's now built into the OpenType font rather than being a separate TFM file that has to be created. So I should be able to run that right here. So this is standard tech input. These are just a bunch of examples that I stole out of the tech book. Examples of how you code various formulae. But I'm inputting font definitions for the Cambria math font, which is Microsoft's OpenType math font. And so when I run this, I should get some reasonable looking math. again will expand so you can see it, using Cambria. And this is from, as I said, the exact same input that was just copy and pasted out of the TechBook source. Except for one, I've got two versions of this first formula here. And the reason for that is that the second one, you see, I changed to just use literal Unicode characters for some of the characters here. And that works equally well as input. So the infinity symbol or the summation sign or pi over here is a literal pi. So because we have complete support for Unicode at the input text level as well as through the fonts, there's that flexibility to produce the text in either way. We have, let's see, extensible delimiters working here, all based on that math table that's in the font that defines how the characters can be, you know, what the different sizes are, how they can grow to fit the equation. So I think there's hope for someday being able to use the Styx fonts the way they should be in Unicode. And I'm looking forward to that. Things that may happen sometime in the future. So everything that you've seen up till now is running today in the ZTEC development code that will shortly be released as an update to what's in Tech Live. Things that might happen further down the road are, there's been some discussion of a replacement for Babel, because Babel is very heavily based on the old tech encodings and code pages and fonts and so forth. So a more modular and Unicode-oriented replacement for Babel is a possibility. Some extensions to how hyphenation is handled, so that automatic hyphenation may insert a post-break text on the second line as well as the hyphen on the first line. It's been requested for certain languages that need to do that. Microtypography, like PDF Tech does, that's probably the number one request I get. And it's a feature I would love to do, but working out exactly how to do it in the world of OpenType and complex scripts and all that's going on at the font level there is going to take some careful thought. And so that's not going to be in the immediate future, but somewhere down the road. There are certain features of the text direction model and so on in Omega that would actually be an improvement on what we have today. What ZTEC has is based on ETEC, which handles bidirectional text kind of okay. It's not perfect. But Omega's model might be worth adopting as a future enhancement there. I've also talked some with Dick about ways of integrating more tightly with front ends like TechShop to provide synchronization between the PDF and the source in a better way than we can do at the moment. And also we've talked about a feature of being able to link back from graphics that are embedded in the output to reopen the original file if you want to make some changes to it. Maybe support MathML using Unicode math fonts. That would be a neat thing to be able to do somewhere down the road. These are all possible future directions, especially if someone wants to start contributing code. So just to kind of sum up what ZTEC offers today is support for the modern font formats that are standard on desktop computers, which, to be honest, is not TFM files and PFBs anymore. It's TTFs and OTFs and so on. And complete multilingual, multi-script support through Unicode. And greatly simplified setup so that font setup becomes something that the average user can do instead of the tech specialist. Just drop the font in the systems folder, the fonts folder that every user does know how to do, or most users at least, and it works out of the box. And by using industry standards wherever they're possible for encoding, for font rendering, and so on, we get a much better interoperability between the tech world and the rest of the computing infrastructure that's out there. our data and our fonts and so on don't need to be a separate world. So I do just want to acknowledge a whole list of people, and that's just a few of the more key people, I suppose, who've helped make it possible to get as far as we are today. Of course, Don Knuth himself, because none of us would even be sitting here talking about it if he hadn't given us tech. That's the end of what I was going to say, but let's have the questions if there is time for one or two. Yes, if the font supports the feature, then yes, there are standardized ways to access that. Within LaTeX, the font spec package, which is what I used to choose a font, has options to access a whole huge list of those standardized features to whatever extent the font provides them. It can't access what isn't in the font, of course.
But as far as, do you still define a single font that exposes
Current model in ZTEC is that a font, in the text sense, a font declaration encapsulates a specific set of features. And so, Minion Pro with old style figures, you would declare as a separate tech font from Minion Pro with lining figures. And then you can switch between those, just like between any two tech fonts. But the font spec package also provides a lot of conveniences, so you can add a feature to the current font, and internally it will declare a new font, but it allows you to express that as just saying, I want to use whatever the current text font is and just add the old style figures feature to it, and it will handle the internal work.
What text encoding do you use for your source file? Are they UTF-8?
Yes. It will also read UTF-16, but I don't know of anybody who's really using that, or common editors like UTF-8. It's more convenient, really.
Go ahead, Tim.
I'm sorry. Is Cambria Math the only math font today that will work with ZTEC?
It's the only one I know of today that supports the math layout features, and so will fully work. There are couple of projects I'm aware of people who are working on additional ones, and I assume that Styx will at some point come out in that form as well. But yes, Cambria is the first, because Microsoft created that standard and everybody else just has to wait for them to do it and then follow.
Okay.
If there's not, it's not going to work.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan.